This is Sex Science Sunday, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education and Erotic University. There have been a number of studies that have looked at alcohol, tobacco, and other substance abuse in lesbian and bisexual women compared to heterosexual women. And what I found interesting is that there does seem to be a consensus, and the latest study from Kent State University, titled An Alcohol, Tobacco, and Other Drug Use Comparison of Lesbian, Bisexual, and Heterosexual Undergraduate Women, comes to the same conclusion as the other studies I've looked at. Of the three groups, heterosexual women, lesbian women, and bisexual women are more likely to be abusing alcohol, tobacco, marijuana, and even prescription drugs, much more so than either heterosexual women or lesbian women. And I don't know why this is so. That's an interesting question that none of these studies really answer. There was another very recent study out of the University of California, San Francisco, that looked at smoking characteristics among lesbian, gay, and bisexual adults. Found the same thing. Bisexual women tend to smoke more than either heterosexual or lesbian women. The conclusion of these studies is that programs need to be tailored to bisexual women. But the big question for me is why? This seems very strange to me. And again, multiple studies are showing the same trend. The Wake Forest Institute for Regenerative Medicine announced that they're making substantial progress toward their objective of growing human penises in a laboratory. They have so far succeeded in growing functional erectile tissue. Now, I'm not sure I understand the process. Dr. Anthony Atala, the director of the Wake Forest Institute, explained that the process of growing penises depends upon a donated organ, which is stripped down to its basic structural cells. So are we talking penile transplant that then has add-ons? It says that the penis, the donated organ, uses the basic structural cells as a scaffold, and then cells are taken from the patient, and they are grown onto this frankenweenie until it's developed enough to be surgically attached. Well, this is another story I don't completely understand. But for those of you who are complaining, oh yeah, they're going to do penises first, well, actually no. They've already successfully implanted lab-grown vaginas in four young women, so it was ladies first. Now, this technique will not work for creating a penis for transgendered men, because you have to start with some penis, because they need cells from the original penis to add to the donated penis, and then they grow it all together and you got a new working penis. My wife is pretty close to being a shoe fetish. She's bisexual. She looks at women and is attracted to them, and a woman wearing high heels can really get a response out of her. And she's also on the other side. She loves shoes and she likes high heels and wearing them. And I get none of that. I don't really get the whole shoe thing. She'll show me, oh, isn't this shoe so hot? And I go, it's a shoe. According to a new study out of France done by the Université de Bretagne, something like that. Don't know how to pronounce it. Sorry about that. Anyway, they conducted experiments that showed that men react very differently toward women who are wearing high heels. They published it in the Archives of Sexual Behavior. So in the little test that they did, they have a woman drop a glove on the street. What they found was, if she was wearing heels, she was 50% more likely to have a man fetch it for her than if she was wearing flats. In another test, they had women approach men and try to get them to answer survey questions, on the street interviews. Women were twice as likely to persuade them to participate if they were wearing high heels. In another study, they found that women would wait half the amount of time to get picked up by a man in a bar if she were wearing heels than if she were not. This is a pretty big disparity between the two test groups, and I've certainly seen reaction to shoes to plenty of people. But again, this is social science research, which is really tricky to do and really tricky to get strong specific conclusions from. I'm assuming that the women were wearing the same clothes in each instance, but here's a problem I have. Clothes that look good in high heels are not going to look as good if you're wearing flats. And of course, it is said that heels will make the leg look better, so I'm assuming there was a lot of leg displayed. It's an interesting study, but really doesn't tell us anything specific. Good news for the drug maker Merck and Company, and good news for pretty much everybody. They've got a new version of their Gardasil vaccine, and it protects against an additional 5 strains of the virus that causes most cases of cervical cancer. This updated vaccine will protect against 90% of cervical, vulvar, vaginal, and anal cancers. 90%. That can make a huge dent in HPV, which is extremely common. About 75 to 80% of men and women are infected with HPV during their lifetime. Now, it can go away. It doesn't necessarily cause cancer just because you get it. And it's actually pretty easy to treat once you get it. It's when it goes untreated that it becomes a problem because it can turn into cancer. If most people were vaccinated over time, we would probably see pretty much the disappearance of HPV. Unfortunately, there are a lot of activists who strongly oppose the use of Gardasil. Not for scientific reasons, of course, but because they oppose the idea of reducing the risk in having unprotected sex. They'll come up with all sorts of statistics and information that show you that Gardasil is extraordinarily dangerous. Those would be lies. Pretty much when you hear people start throwing out the term big pharma and how they're trying to hide this and how the CDC downplays the problem, you can pretty much know that they're lying at that point. They do have great allies in the anti-vaxxer movement who also use bad science and made-up statistics to try to prove their point that vaccinations are dangerous. The anti-vaxxers are motivated by misinformation, but those who oppose Gardasil, they're generally motivated by strong religious beliefs that people shouldn't be out there running around having sex. Either way, neither group relies much on actual science, and neither should be given much credibility.